Once again, here is veteran educator and broadcaster Paul Winter on WTalk.
Yeah, otherwise we'd be at Wonderland Center today. We've been experiencing tech.
Across the nation, around the world, people and events are making news at this hour.
Kenwood 5, 6, 100 and Garfield 5, 4,000 at 14 and a half minutes past 5 on W Talk, and you're on it. Hello.
I'd like to have your opinion on the foreign policy of the United States in the event of, or in the area of economic development. It's the USAID and...
Oh, my goodness.
The Food for Peace program.
Well, yeah, I have two things to say.
All right.
And that, and the two things I have to say, I think are a reflection of our historic... or represent the historic ambivalence in our attitudes toward other people. I think that there is a tremendous... there are two tendencies, I think. One of them, a very high morality with regard to the sense of obligation which, in the history of our relationships with other people, we have felt toward, in terms, you know, of the virtues of the Protestant ethic, if you like, toward people in the world in trouble. On the other hand, I think that the point of conflict comes in where we have exercised, as any great power will, that interest or that, you know, that action in relation to simple power self-interest. I think that our view, that our behavior in this way has been different from the behavior of the British, for example, which I don't think was ever motivated, as nearly as I can understand it, in terms of their, you know, colonial history, ever motivated by anything but power interest or economic interest. I would dispute those who would argue that ours... was always motivated in the same way. I think that that's not correct. I think that we have been historically going through a tremendous ambivalence of motive here. One, benevolent, concerned, and determined to help people because it's right to help people. And on the other, related to self-interest and power, you know, and therefore getting into all kinds of trouble on that basis. And I think, for example, and I suppose that those who are referred to as the revisionists or new historians will disagree with me on this, but I make a distinction between, for example, the Marshall Plan on the one hand, and the war, the nature of our foreign policy with regard to Vietnam on the other. Which I think reflects this difference that I'm talking about. So I would say that where our desire to involve ourselves with other people and other nations reflects the positive tendency in our history, I am all for it. And where it reflects the power tendency in our history, I'm not. And I think that finally I want to say about that, that it's probably rather a simplistic view of the way that we have behaved in the world, but nevertheless, in my view anyway, meaningful. For example, let me give you another example. When we went to the United Nations in the late 40s with a plan for the internationalization of atomic resources, you know, the Baruch Plan, I feel that we were absolutely sincere and that we were thinking in the most humane terms possible. That was turned down by the Russians, you know. That was a famous incident in which Bertrand Russell suggested that we threaten the Russians with an atomic bomb on Moscow if they didn't sign up. The mutual international sharing of atomic resources, you remember that? I would say that that represents the best and the highest aspects of our tradition. And it's an example of what I'm talking about in relation to what I think is this fundamental ambivalence, which I don't think the British ever experienced.
All right, you've given me a nice background to this whole thing and what your feelings are on it, but do you feel that the economic development programs have been successful?
Well, I'm not able to... I think they have, certainly in Western Europe, but the
I'm more interested in Southeast Asia right now.
Southeast Asia. Well, I can't tell you that much about Southeast Asia because I'm not that much familiar. I think it's much more difficult there to make an evaluation because, you know, I talk about Western Europe. The technology is a familiar one in Western Europe. The interests and energies and potentials for development were there, quite obviously after the Second World War. You might view Japan as an example of success, but once again, the potentials were already there, you know. And I would also contend that our interest in Japan after the war demonstrates what you might call the best possible combination of the benevolent interest on the one hand and the power interest on the other. If you will remember, MacArthur did remarkable things in Japan after the war. So I really can't, I understand. On the other hand, I think that our China policy has traditionally been abominable. See, so...
Well, you mentioned MacArthur.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the Philippines.
Okay.
All right, now, we came in 1945 and liberated the Philippines from the Japanese, right?
Yes.
And we set up this model democracy underneath the U.S., and we gave them, we made them completely economically dependent upon us, right?
Well, I don't know. Is that the case?
Yeah, that is the case. Their whole sugar industry, sugar is one of the main industries of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Their whole sugar industry is dedicated to filling the U.S. sugar quota.
Uh-huh.
And at times they have to import sugar to feed themselves because they're sending so much of it out to the U.S. So, and they're quite economically dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at, they're in a complete economic rut. Next to Indonesia, they're the worst country economically in all of Southeast Asia. And, you look at all the aid
that you would view as a failure. In other words,
we look at all the economic aid we're giving them. I've lived there for the past 2 years. I've seen what's going on. They have like this food for peace program. The U.S. has finally decided that they might just discontinue it because all the food that we've given them rots in the warehouse. You have to buy it more or less from the local distributor, and since no one wishes to buy it, it just rots. There's a great, great level of corruption in, all throughout this model government that we've made. And then the, are you aware of the Huck problem that has just recently resurged?
The what?
The Huck problem.
Yes, I am. A resurgence of the Huck movement, yes.
All right. Now, do you still consider the Huck movement communistic?
Well, frankly, I don't know that much about the resurgence. I understand that there's a double, there's more than one thing involved. Some of it is... some of it is, you know, the liberation movement interest. Some of it also seems to be sheer gangsterism, as I understand it.
Well, the gangsterism is what the government is employing to knock out the Hucks.
I see.
And they still associate the Hucks with communists. The Hucks
I see.
Are no longer communists. They're honest-to-goodness reformers. What they're doing is they're coming into a village and they're taking it away from the government.
I just don't know that much about it.
Yeah, they set up a nice, responsible government inside the village.
Mm-hmm.
All rapings, killings, murders, everything stopped. The people they do kill are the double crossers, and also the oppressive landlords. See,
well,
they still have this feudal type system that you'd have in the Middle Ages. And they kill these people off and they initiate land reform.
Yeah. But, well, what would you say generally about our policy then?
Well, I feel that all this aid money and everything we're giving them is simply going down the drain. That we're making a terrible mistake. This is a completely different culture. We can't transpose our society upon theirs.
Oh no, I agree with that. I would, but I would still continue to feel that there's been a tremendous ambivalence in as I said earlier, our view of other people than ourselves. Sometimes, in my view, benevolent, representing the best. Traditions of the Protestant ethics, sometimes related to sheer power, sometimes a combination of the two. And I think that that's been one of our constant historic problems. And as I said earlier, I don't think the British ever suffered from that kind of problem because I think they were always power oriented, only and always.
Well,
so I think that there are...
You go to a former British colonial possession, like say Singapore, or Malaya.
Yeah.
And you'll find a high level of prosperity there compared to our former colony, the Philippines.
Well, I don't know.
Or the former French colonies.
That's interesting, yes.
Yeah, you find that the people are very well disciplined and are very clean.
Well, but that's not uniform throughout the old British possessions.
Throughout all the old British. I'm talking about Southeast Asia.
Yeah,
I'm comparing Southeast Asia to...
You would assume that they did, a relatively speaking, not a bad job. Is that the idea?
They're very inhuman, cold at times, but they enforce our society down upon the people.
Well, listen, I got to go, but I, in other words, your overview is that we haven't done very well where other people are concerned.
No, I feel that we haven't.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Right, bye-bye. Hello, you're on W Talk, and it's Paul Winter.